Hello, this is Truth Be Told Transformation, and I'm your host, Bonnie Burkert. I'm here to share tools for transformation, to find your highest truth. Now, to me, your highest truth means your authenticity. And there's different ways to explore that, and so consequently, I find different speakers who have different approaches to doing so. And I'm very pleased to speak with Dr., a DDS, correct? Nancy Wiley. Nancy, I'm going to welcome you, and we'll talk a little bit more about all that you're doing. But beyond the world of dentistry, which, by the way, I mean, that's like a whole interesting subject. We could go down the sort of electricity that's in our teeth and that wellness factor, and that's important. But that's not what we're going to talk about today, because it, in addition to the scientific mind, you've also had a long history with meditation and have found other ways to live your happiest and best life. And that's what we wanted to talk about. The name of the show is about divine trust and ending suffering. So, Nancy, welcome.
Thanks, Bonnie. It's so good to be here. I love what you're doing, and getting all this information out is so critical right now in this point in time in human history.
Thank you. I agree, and I'm very grateful for my producer, Tony Sweet, who's been doing this for a long time, and we look at a lot of different modalities. So I really love the mind-body-spirit part of this, and obviously, we mentioned you as a DDS, knowing about the body part of that, and that's really important. But tell me, obviously, you had to go to school for a long time, but how did you balance out science with spiritual? Tell me a little bit about your path that way.
You know, it's just one of those coincidental things. It started with my mom. She knew friends that gave me spiritual books. She took me to learn transcendental meditation when I was 16, because I was so into the books and so driven and so much in my mind, and there's two ways of being. But I'm going to talk first. My first part of my life was developing my left brain and my scientific mind. I not only have the DDS, I also have a master's in nutrition, my orthodontic certification, and a qualified oral facial myologist. It's 6 advanced degrees and or certifications. So it's all of this left brain scientific. If you cannot prove it with your 5 senses and it's not reproducible, then it's not real. So then conjunctly with on the other side of that, using my right brain with all the meditation, I also got books when I was like 16. Someone gave me Dr. Joseph Murphy's The Power of Your Subconscious Mind when I was 16, same time I learned to meditate. And then I got Autobiography of a Yogi. So these are all mind expanding, right brain expanding, into the consciousness. And so, with all the way it's set up right now, humanity, we are all trained to use and live from our left brain. And it's really a detriment, because when you come from your right brain or your consciousness, you're in the present moment. You are so much more powerful. There's so much more available. Life is so much more rich. And I always say it's like going from living in black and white to living in rich, vibrant technicolor. It's that distinctive. And when you train yourself to actually come from your consciousness or your right brain and let that guide you, and then your mind becomes the tool and they merge, oh my gosh, it's this whole new point of humanity. It's where we are meant to be functioning from. So I hope that kind of answers your question about a background for me.
Yeah, well, it's a beautiful introduction, and also very inspiring at the same time to hear a little bit more. I'd like to introduce the title of your book right now, just so that people, know one of the, topics that we want to share about. It's called A Divine Trust, A Practical Guide to End Your Suffering and Find Your Way Home. So, Nancy, tell us, broad strokes, what's this about?
So it's really about my journey into becoming free or not suffering any longer. So I kept on. Once you become a seeker, it's like you get this insatiable desire to know more. I mean, I've read and studied with maybe thousands of people. It's literally that. I don't read any other thing. I don't watch any other thing on TV other than mind-broadening stuff. You should see my library right now. It's right in front of me.
I can relate. I can definitely relate.
And it's so funny. It gets richer and deeper. So I just started reading Autobiography of a Yogi again. It's probably my third or fourth time through. And it's like, oh my gosh, even more deep than I even remembered it. It's so fantastic. Oh my goodness.
Nancy, it's funny. I just have to sidebar really quickly. I'm right there with you. In fact, I just purchased a Kindle so that I could have that book because it's big. So I want to always have that book with me for upcoming travels, and I can't afford to schlep it. So I just want to let you know it's crazy. And I just actually went to the Lake Shrine out here. And so that's a very, very cool coincidence. And it feels really good. Thank you.
So you just started reading Autobiography of a Yogi again?
Like you say, probably my third time. And it's just big time on my radar. So that's kind of crazy that right here in this July of 2022, that is coming back around again. A book that's what, 50 years old, something like that.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah,
at least 50 60. Years old.
Uh-huh. I think it's from the 40s. So, okay. But okay, so that is one of many because you have a lot of different practices. So go ahead. Autobiography of a Yogi.
Okay, so yeah, this is really critical. I think it might help because I did transcendental meditation for 25 years with like hum-dee-dum, this is so boring. When am I going to have a peak experience? Nothing. I switched to something that sounded good to the scientist in me, Holosync, which is uses two brainwave entrainment. You have to use stereo headphones. Oh. I did that for 8 years. Still like, oh my God, this is all so boring.
Okay, so that was audio.
And I love, what's that?
So Holosync.
Yeah.
Is audio. It is audio based. And so you're still sitting quietly. Right.
Yes.
And there's okay, cool. Thank you. I just was curious. I saw that in your bio and I wanted to find out more.
Yeah. Okay. So it's very similar. So whereas transcendental meditation is using a mantra, with your eyes closed, you repeat it over and over again, trying to get to zero point or unity consciousness or whatever the definition, you know, you're going to say. There's several different ways to look at it. And same with Holosync is supposed to be there. I tried that 8 years, still like, oh my gosh. And all these different other types of meditation. I finally found this awesome teacher. Her name is Jetta Molly with Learning Strategies. She was being promoted through a big company called Learning Strategies. And I do a lot of their programs. So I took a chance and oh my gosh, from the very first meditation, whew, explosions and bells and whistles and oh my God, it's just phenomenal. So hers is a guided meditation. So she gives your brain or the mind, the left brain, a job to do while you're doing your meditation. But lo and behold, here you come in and you see the face of God and you experience God or source or universe, whatever. I don't want to put God on that because it's, you know, sometimes the word God has connotations
semantics,
in it. It shuts people down. And I think it's a white bearded man sitting on a cloud, but it's an energy source and you see it and you feel it, you commune with it. At first for me, I saw it outside of me. And then I started slowly feeling it was inside of me to the point where I commune with it. I can see it regularly and I surrender to it. It starts, you have to be allowing. You have to see like the possibility. And that's why I love Autobiography of a Yogi for all of the different saints and different people with different consciousness and levels of consciousness in that book. It's very mind expanding. So it's like, this can be possible for a human being. So now let's go experience it. And I never experienced it until I met my teacher, Jetta. And now I experience it all the time. I don't even need to be in a meditation to experience it. So yeah, that is a really cool way to come from. But divine trust is actually this one-on-one communion. And if you look up the word trust in the Webster Dictionary, it is a firm belief in the reliability, strength, or truth of a thing. In this case, source, God, whatever, you know, the universe. But it implies there's a faith and it's not a tangible thing. Like you're facing it out there with nothing to come back at you. You just have to have blind faith. This is not that. It's so much deeper. Because when I go in, I am actually communing with this energy. I see it's me. It knows it's me. It wants me to see it. And then we merge. And then I become the vehicle. Like, it literally is looking through my eyes, talking through my mouth, feeling through my hands, and using my vehicle for its divine assignment, which is to get this information out and to teach as many people about this as possible. The key to it, though, and the book is Divine Trust. It's the end of suffering, because once you have this relationship, it nourishes you, it tells you, it shows you why every single thing on this planet is happening. And the purpose of it, it's all evolutionary, and it's all in a beautiful way that we are all unfolding. And it's available for everybody. It's not just me. I just am conscious to it. And that is where our consciousness of all humans is being asked to awaken at this point in history. And there's so many more people on the planet right now living this truth and living their light. And it's time for humanity to know that this is possible for every one of us.
Mm. Yeah, that's amazing. And I definitely think that you're right about so many people being tapped in, and there's that many more. Look at a show like this that is getting viewerships and listenership. So I'm definitely with you on that. And yet I want to do, it's yet not in a doubtful way, but in some ways that I do want to kind of break it down a little bit, it mm-hmm. being divine trust. Now, I have to bring this up, but you, your community was involved or affected by the Parkland shootings in Florida several years back, right?
Yes.
So I would like to ask how you were able to stay in your faith during mm-hmm. such a horrific experience, which, by the way, there have been so many more even since.
Yes.
And so help mm-hmm. us with any words you have, because this is some suffering that everyone is going through, even the shooters themselves, to get to this point, or any of these other things that are happening. I mean, I turn on the news in the morning in Los Angeles, and all these people, and, you know, you want to be angry with the shooters or robbers, and yet at the same time, there's part of me that's like, that has to think, what was wrong with them? And I'll almost have empathy for how ill were they, ill in spirit, to go there.
I'm going to take it to a whole new level. Okay. So when you come from, that's the human perspective, kind of the way you were talking about it. I don't come from that anymore. I see way beyond that.
Okay.
So here's the actual way, the fabric of the way the universe is structured and each human soul. So we're all part of this energy. Everyone is. It's almost like a wave in the ocean. It's like when it crashes, it's still part of the ocean. And each individual wave is like an individual human. It's still the ocean. And when it crashes, it goes back into the ocean. So we're all part of the same ocean. So we literally all are one. Now, I used to just hear that and not, you know, it was just a concept in the mind. It was a mental construct until I actually attained unity consciousness. And it's like an egg being boiled. Once you're boiled, hard boiled, you never can go back to being a raw egg. So once you have unity consciousness, you see in that experience, I think it was to the seventh chakra. I was up there and suddenly I was everything and nothing all at the same time. I had no body, but I could see 365 degrees all around me. And I was everything. Everything was in me. And it was just so incredible and so blissful and beautiful. And everything's perfect and at peace. So when you see it from this other side, almost like I would imagine if you know, someone dies, they see the perspective this way. But I feel, and I've come to know, and just try this on, and for your listeners, if you've never heard this, just try it on once and just let it maybe sink in a little bit. And then every time you hear this concept, it might sink in a little bit more until it's like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. So here we are, we're soul. We haven't taken this body yet, but we're up there with our guides planning what it is we are going to do to grow ourselves and to grow all of consciousness as an extension, you know, the wave that I was talking about as the ocean. It's all never, never ending expansion. And we're here to help it expand and also to help us grow as that individual wave. So we say, okay, I'm going to learn this, this, and this. And we're up there and we see other souls, and we often travel in soul groups and we make contracts. So let's just say, you know, Nicholas Cruz was up there with some of the Parkland students. And they were saying, you know, we really want to evolve all of humanity. We want to have this really, really difficult to even comprehend event where we have to get through it and we have to be the change of the whole planet. Will you help us? And Nicholas Cruz goes, yeah, you know, this time I'm going to go in and I'll be the bad guy for you guys this time. Last time I was the good guy, you were the bad guy. This time I'm going to go in and I'm going to have a crappy life. I'm going to be given up for adoption. I'm going to live in a trailer home by a single mom who has no ability to, you know, help me become the best person I'm going to be. And then I'm going to get bullied at school. And then I'm going to make it my obsession to come back and kill as many people as I can because I hate so much. I'm going to make myself hate so much. So then he carries that out. And these other souls, all divine, we're all divine. They say, okay, I'm going to be one that lives. And one says, I'm going to be one that dies. That's okay. I will give up my life because we need to have souls that can this imprint up so that we actually are forcing the world to change. And I'll give up my life for that. Mm-hmm. So here we all come in and we have this event, but yet we're all processing it through our left brain, our human mind, yeah, with out this consciousness, and no one's even helping these people. So as an orthodontist that day, my mom had just passed away. Her funeral was on the Friday before the Parkland shooting. And I was like, okay, I used my divine trust, all the things I teach you in the book, to have this one-on-one relationship to understand that nothing bad happens. It's all for a higher purpose. What might that higher purpose be? And that's one of the exercises in the book. Also, along with meditation, to teach you to have your own one-on-one relationship with the divine. So what might be the reason that this happened? So I had my mom die and I'm sitting in the clinic literally on the same day thinking, man, I processed this so well. I see my dad and my sister and my brother all suffering from my mom's passing. And me, I'm the only one holding it, you know, seeing it for what it is. I could feel her presence on the other side. I could see what she was experiencing. So I was fine with that. And I was like, God, I just barely had this when, boom, in the clinic, a mom standing next to me while I'm working on a patient, because I'm an orthodontist and my practice is about a mile and a half away from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. And she goes, there's an active shooter at Douglas. And we all go, oh. And all of a sudden you could hear sirens and helicopters and I mean, so many horrific things happening. And I too started to lose it for about 5 days. I sat down, I was watching TV. I learned the next morning, I was woken up at 5 a.m. by my office manager that we lost a patient that day and one of my staff lost her sister.
Oh, that's so rough.
And the next day we canceled patients the whole week, but we went in to see what we could do to help. And there were candlelight vigils and just, you know, all this community service. But no one came into the office for about 6 weeks, literally.
Wow.
The patients did not come unless they were adults. And I had, did you want to say something?
No, I just want to say that's tough. I mean, this is a level of detail that we forget happens in these communities after.
But I want to say like two other things that really made the book come about. I had an adult patient at the time. He did come in and he is a psychologist. And we were talking about it. And he said, you watch, these kids are going to start committing suicide. And I'm like, what? I don't get the two. He goes, well, I did not see how the two relate. And he said, when you have a post-traumatic stress aspect like that, you have either survivor's guilt or you have severe anxiety that you'll never be safe again. So sure enough, very quietly, we kept hearing through the grapevine. And then it became so severe, I think 4 people committed suicide, that they called a town hall for Coral Springs and Parkland. And I showed up for that. And I'm like, I have knowledge. I have sacred knowledge that gets to the root of this that actually will make it go away. But they were like, you're a dentist. What are you, like basically take a hike. And I'm like, oh my God, I have sacred knowledge. So same exact time, this is not a coincidence. My back started bothering me and I kept ignoring it. And finally I looked into it and I found out I had 17 bulging discs and 4 herniations. And every time I was leaning over a patient, it was actually making it worse. So I made the decision to sell my practice. Now, divine trust. I trusted this was for a reason. This was a divine purpose. So I sold my practice. It sold fast. And I remember walking out of the practice on my last day and saying, I don't know, Lord, divine universe, what you have in store for me, but I'm trusting my back issues. This is the right thing. I just feel and sense it that I'm supposed to leave. So I leave without any visible form of income whatsoever. And I time it to go for a month and rented a condo on the beach in New Smyrna Beach, which is beautiful down here. And I timed that with the beginning of a spiritual retreat, which was the 4 days. So my intention for the spiritual retreat, now this is 4 days after I'm leaving my practice, and I have no visible means of support or income or what the heck I'm going to do or why this is happening to me. And my intention is I get my next divine assignment on the first day of the spiritual retreat in a meditative process. I hear, you're going to write a book on trust. And my first response is, I don't know if you ever have the balls to do this, but I'm like, what? You guys must be crazy. I know I can hear things and hear spiritual beings, but why would you choose me? I'm a scientist and writing is my weakest attribute, my weakest point and what I like to do least. So second day of the retreat in another process, I hear, you embody it. We've been working with you. So you embody trust. This is your gift. You are going to teach others how to trust, especially for the Parkland kids. So I decide, well, who am I to argue with this? I'm going to just let this settle in for the night. This third day of the retreat, I heard nothing, but I still trust. Fourth day of the retreat, I'm in a process. This is so crazy. I hear, here's the book, here's the outline, get up and write this down. And it actually outlined my book. So then I knew like this was my next divine assignment. So the book actually wrote itself in 5 days.
Oh my gosh, that's brilliant. Yeah. I love this story.
It's pretty incredible.
I love the story. Talking about divine trust, truly.
Yes. Truly. Yes. And so it's this, I love change. I love going into this immersive energy and just letting it show me. It's just so powerful. My life has become more magical, more powerful since I've actually decided that, trust is my go-to energy state. It's a state of being that is so nourishing that no matter what happens in your outer world, you are fed and nourished and overflowing with confidence, abundance, and love about what is happening around you, that you're impervious to whatever happens. Now, I do want to say Uvalde shooting happened, right? And what do? I sit down and start watching the news and I'm like, oh my God, I feel this all is such deja vu. Yeah. But I stop myself and my publicity people are like, what do you want to, get out into your social media. What do you want to put on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know. I have nothing. I'm not coming from the good place right now, but all I have to do is just remember, come into the present moment, breathe, make that connection, that one-on-one. And then I got amazing answers, more, even more clarifying than what happened in Parkland and what I got when I communed with Source for that. But I got that, you know, it's taking a stand for love, for goodness. That actually goes out into the ethers, or, you know, it just vibrates out and it makes a change just by what we're doing right now, just by us talking about this right now and me speaking about this truth. It's going out there and making a vibrational change on the planet. And so after the Uvalde shooting, I became even more committed. Take a stand for love, for goodness. And that negates everything that is other than that. It totally obliterates it and transforms it into what is holy, what is loving, what is goodness, and is the evolution of humanity.
I love that. And I believe that. I'm right there with you. It was interesting. I did, however, have a conversation with somebody recently who I think has watched the show, but really kind of surprised me by saying that she was an atheist. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel like, you know, getting into it, you know, getting mm-hmm. sort of debating with her. But mm-hmm. Do you ever have people that you come across that
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, what are, again, we want to share tools here for people.
Yes.
So, I mean, what do you say? Help us know how to help others. But I feel there are a lot of people mm-hmm. that are watching that this
right.
that resonates fully with them.
Right.
But how do we help? How do we help get the word
out?
You
know, okay, so that's a really great question. I have a brother-in-law who professes to be an atheist, yet Joseph Campbell is one of his, you know, big go-tos. And I'm thinking, you know, he's just saying he's an atheist because he does not believe in a white-haired, you know, white-bearded man sitting on a cloud somewhere. And that is exactly, you know, it's just semantics, right? It's semantics, because this energy is all around you. And I will say, some people are young souls and they're not ready to receive this, not ready to be there. So you and I have to accept them, greet them where they are. Okay, do you admire a beautiful sunset? Start there. Do you admire the feeling of the sun on your skin or something beautiful in nature? And almost all of those atheists say, yes, they do. And that is the beginning. But whether they want to have the one-on-one relationship and they're ready for it, they're probably not. I believe I'm an old soul because I just feel it. I just feel like I've had a lot of experience, and I'm here as a teacher and a guide in this form that I'm presently in. Mm. And I feel this is way more authentic than even being the orthodontist. I loved it. And I would not have loved it if I wasn't forced to by my back issue. But look what just transformed for me. And I don't even know where this is going. I'm starting to volunteer with the Parkland kids on September 1st. As many people as I, you know, as are willing, and it starts with the willingness and an openness. People who want to know this, I believe there's a calling, like a light in every human's heart. Yeah, I want to experience love and this connection. This connection is bliss. You don't need drugs. You don't need alcohol. This is so much more infinitely nourishing and fulfilling and addicting, even, because it's so profound. And it's like, holy crap, where did I just go? That was so, I want more of that. But the more you grasp, the more it eludes you. So you have to just relax and allow.
Okay.
And welcome people who aren't that, and live the life that they want to emulate your life. They want that. They want to have a magical life where you just say, what's my next divine assignment? And you get it. I get so many crazy answers from the universe. I leave the house. I'm like, God, you know, am I on the right path? What do I see? An alligator walking across the road in front of me. And if you look that up, it's like a huge confirmation. And if you look for signs.
Yeah.
You start looking, I mean, there's great books. I have Animal Speaks, and you know, you can just Google what is an alligator crossing your path.
Yeah, alligator medicine, or yes, I know. It's
yes.
It's great. And again, I just want to bring it back to tools that I know that you use, and one that perhaps we shouldn't take for granted, and we're just going to remind people, breath.
Yes.
Because I know that friend I told you about who said ultimately the whole God, you know, speak of God.
Yes.
She said, well, maybe it's just people doing good breathing and they have this sense that they're connecting with God. And I'm like, mm-hmm. So she debunks it, saying it's only the breath, and we have sort of, you know, enlightened ourselves just through the science, if you will. But you take it another level to transcendence.
How could she not listen to this and say, oh my God, this is a scientist, where, you know, she trained herself. And I hear things. I hear spirits talking to me of the divine origin. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah.
And it's because I'm open, and it's because I spend so many hours on the meditation cushion, or I actually lay down a lot to meditate.
Okay, so it's good to let people know that, because I mean, the Dalai Lama has a quote that says, sleep is the best meditation. I mean, I think it's very interesting, you know, whereas I would also say another quote that I've seen is, sleep is overrated, but rest underrated. So how to get to the place of calm. Right. And relaxation, so that you can hear. I think it's a problem. We've certainly spoken about, you know, other speakers, that we do get a little overloaded. And I mean, part of it is, here we are watching the show. I hope you're watching or listening to this show. So we are more to be consuming out there, but hopefully in an uplifting way.
Yes.
But if you want to share a little bit more about the different techniques, you've mentioned a few different forms of meditation, TM, and I had noted, EFT was something that I picked up from your bio, as well as diamond feng shui. I need to know about that.
Oh my gosh. As I said, thousands of different teachers, books, techniques. I just love it all. I'm just a student, a seeker. The only difference now is that I have a level of confidence and experience within myself that I can go there. That my teacher is the within me and my connection to source right now. So that's where I go. But I want to talk about, first and foremost, the left brain, the mind, is in the past or in the future. The consciousness where I commune with this source energy is in the present moment. So you get there by breath, by coming into the present moment, and then logging onto it or communing with it. So you first reach out to it, and then it's almost like a hand, and it takes you in it. And then once you reach out to it, it's there, and you're like partners, and you see you're one in the same. It's just so beautiful. And then immersing in that energy. Now, I believe strongly in guided meditation, and certain guides that have the confidence and experience that my teacher did, and now that I have. And many of her followers have. And it's someone who knows. So it's like you're explaining things and experiences in the present moment, and like teaching us what you might experience, what you might feel. And it, ultimately, everything's beautiful, no matter what it is or how dark your mind labels it as dark. When you're in this energy and you're bringing the light of your consciousness, it transforms it. And it's like, you know what, that thing I thought was bad was really a beautiful gift. I just had to stand in the present moment with this light and look at it and see it for what it is. And that's literally how life is. No matter what happens or what you bring to it in this present moment, with the light of your consciousness, it just transforms it into beauty and perfection.
Thank you. We're just pausing for a moment for people for that to resonate. And I definitely have seen it myself. I get divine trust. I really do. And I think that people I know maybe would question, whereas other people might say, trust. But there's almost an element of doubt in there. How about divine knowing? You know it's going to happen. So it's interesting to look at, different choices that we have, right?
It's all a choice. It's all our choice. Do you want to live in the mind, or do you want to live in consciousness and then actually go deeper and deeper and deeper and get to this pure state of being where everything's beautiful and perfect?
It's great. And here you are inviting people. I do think since 2020, I think people are exploring that more, and you see that as people shift into different ways of working. Would you agree that's part of it?
Oh my gosh. So if you look, I mean, we're at an all-time high of both extremes, drug abuse, divorce, mass shootings, but also people doing meditation and yoga, and all-time high percentage of people seeking. I heard that's like 33% something up, and I think it's even more. I believe it's a calling in each of our heart, each one of us right now on the planet. It's no accident we're alive right now. Yes.
It's great. And we're all, so that calling either is confusing to people and they go perhaps, you know, into a bad place,
yes,
right? Because they don't understand.
They don't know where to go. They don't know how to react to it. So they actually try to numb it. I don't know what to do, so therefore I'm going to numb it, right?
That's it's a breakdown. It's a breaking down of their old identity. And it's interesting because I had, I was the interviewee on one of my shows talking about my path of leaving perhaps a very ego-based business world that I was in, and choosing spirit. And sure, it's different, and sure, some people thought I was crazy, and maybe still do, and don't understand this language and this way to do it. But I think a lot of people do see that I'm happy and well, and mm-hmm. right. And in fact, I want to ask you, speaking of well, when you've mm-hmm. made the change, mm-hmm. Nancy, how's your back?
My back is still an issue, and I don't know why. I thought it would, you know, maybe go away. It's better, but boy, I still have to do a lot. I have to do like lots of therapy on my back. I do Pilates. I do an hour and a half ab work twice a week to help with my core. So I'm like, I'm really interested in that. Why is that persisting? And it's something I welcome. I don't try to fight. I just try to do what I can to support it, because I know if I don't work on my core, it gets worse. But it's so strange. I'm like, divine trust. I'm trusting it's there for a reason. I do not know yet what it is. And perhaps this is the way it works. So I'm thinking it's perhaps I'm supposed to get back to doing Qigong work every day. I'm a Reiki master also.
Yeah.
So am I supposed to do Reiki on myself every day? Like when I do Reiki, it doesn't seem to make it, you know, it doesn't make a dent on it. So maybe is it a different form that I'm supposed to do? Now my Reiki going out to others has gotten infinitely more powerful because of divine trust and working with it, but for myself. So I know there's a reason for it. I trust. And this is the whole book. Yep. It wouldn't be there if it wasn't supposed to be there for some reason. What is it? I do not know yet.
And that's a journey.
It is. But you see, I'm not in pain from it, right? I mean, not mentally. Physically, yes, I can be in pain. Mentally, no. Yeah. I trust it's there for a reason, and it's going to unfold perfectly.
And here you are, and you look shiny and bright to me. So I wish you well. And this has been a conversation that flew by. It feels like we've been talking for only 10 minutes. And I really think there's so much, and it's beautifully inspiring. It's gentle. It's informed. And I really love that it is a very sincere story of how this has come through and changed your life from a really, really different, a new place. And thank you. You're doing wonderful work for all of us. We really need it. And so I encourage everybody to find out more about Dr. Wiley on her website as well, and find her book. And I'm sure, you know, there'll be other talks that you're doing along the way. I don't know if you do one-on-one sessions with people, but
I do everything. They can go to trustthedivine.com and you can see I do speaking. I do podcasts, obviously. I do one-on-one. I do groups. And I really feel great doing groups. That's where I actually feel the most useful, because we get a vibration and an energy. And if I'm in front of someone, I feel like I can read their energy better, because I have so much energy background and Reiki master, and my teacher, that Jenna Molly, taught us how to do that. So I've been working with her for 13 years already. So yes, in person, I love it. I love that.
Very, very busy woman, very accomplished woman. Thank you for taking time to talk with us here on Truth Be Told Transformation. It's great, very great. I wish you the best, and please come back again soon.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Namaste. Thanks for listening, everybody. Again, I'm here to help you feel better. And it's such a true pleasure to find guests that are really finding their path and using different techniques to do so. We're here to answer any questions you may have, and with new episodes every week. I'm Bonnie Burkert. You can see my new shows on Wednesdays. They go up at 3:00 Pacific. Don't forget to catch Tony Sweet live on Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific, and Robert Hensley with the Minuteman Report on Mondays, also live at 3 p.m. Pacific. Thanks, everybody. Feel well out there. And thanks again for watching, sharing, and listening. Until the next time.